finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Easley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody on the heels of the Killer Bees, Jeremy and Joel. We are going to do 2 hours of soccer talk here tonight. That's our new schedule. So welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, everyone. New schedule Tuesdays from 6 to 8 tomorrow night. On Wednesday at 6, we debut the new show. It's called Destination 2026. Houston's Countdown to the Cup. And that will be a World Cup history show, interviews with former players and those executing the event in the city of Houston, history of the World Cup. And then, you know, we'll get your feelings on it. When did the World Cup become important to you as a young person? We'll discuss those indelible moments when you first became enamored with the World Cup and when it came to your attention. Tomorrow we'll have on Marcelo Balboa. One of the things about Marcelo, he was on the 94 World Cup team that beat Colombia. Had the bicycle kick in that World Cup that did not go in, but that changed his entire life. And we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk about the tragedy of what happened to Andres Escobar of Colombia. After the own goal, he went back to his country and was murdered. A lot of World Cup history stuff tomorrow. More of it will be upbeat, that's for sure. But Chris Canetti will also be on the program, who heads up the World Cup committee. Call in tonight, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com. The podcast always at Spotify, Apple, ESPN975.com. All right, so I'm going to get into a little, I'm going to get on a soapbox here for a minute. PSG has restored my faith. We can address Inter Milan later, but this 5-0 beatdown, by the way, was the largest margin in the history of the European Cup and the Champions League for a final. But this was the football we wanted to see. Free-flowing, interchanging of positions, tricks, flicks, quick thinking, width, depth, footballers marrying razor-sharp technique, and just out-of-this-world ability. Some of the goals in this game were absolutely spectacular. And I think it's renewed a lot of our faith. None of the inverted winger, none of the passing it around forever. This was streamlined, fast football. Was a dismantling. It was a destruction. It was an annihilation of Inter Milan. And it was impressive in the style and circumstance, as much in the style and circumstance as it was in the scoreline. All right, so I go right to their midfield. Vitinha, Fabian Ruiz, Desiré Doué, all, by the way, Doué, 19 years of age. Impressive. Then you've got the front runners of Kvaratskhelia, Dembele, Mayulu.
and they're wreaking havoc. They're making Inter Milan look so slow and sluggish. High-energy attack, pressing machine. Milan looks ordinary. They look pedestrian. And in fact, if you're in a Milan, I mean, this was an embarrassment. Yes, they got to the final, but it was an embarrassment in the final. They just looked pedestrian. They didn't look up for it. So PSG gave us a footballing spectacle under manager Luis Enrique. And I know many have gone right away to the spend of the Qatari owners of PSG. Now, spend and investment, yeah, it's one thing. You still have to put a team together of highly paid athletes that will work together, will be goal-oriented. They'll be collective. That's what we saw. This was Luis Enrique, man management at its best. And let's not forget, this was the same PSG that had Kylian Mbappe, okay, who wanted to go to Real Madrid because he wanted to win the Champions League. How about that? Had Neymar, had Leo Messi, and none of them ever got it done. So the moral of the story here is the collective over the individual. Maybe Mbappe and all the attention, the ego, the placating to that player was the problem. But this was a coaching gem from Luis Enrique. So congratulations to PSG. We can all bathe in the beauty of the type of football they played. This was spectacular. So Inter Milan was never in this. Never in it. Largest margin of victory in history. I mentioned that. PSG was too young, too mobile, too good, too dominant. Last time anyone conceded five in a Champions League final, it was 1962 when Benfica put five on Real Madrid in a 5-3 win. So there's other examples, but nobody ever won by a margin of five goals. So let's go to the 12th minute. They get it started. Now, this is Hakimi against his former team. And I'll tell you a little bit about this after we hear the call.
Mariscalia into Fabian Ruiz. Back to Vitinha. Fed in beautifully to Doué. And it's Hakimi! And it's, yes, beautiful! Oh, hang it in the Louvre!
By the way, that's your right back who scores. Hakimi used to play at Inter Milan. And DeMarco, who, you know, I thought DeMarco and Dumfries were going to be real important pieces in this game. DeMarco had a nightmare on the first two goals, kept everybody onside, was totally not aware of where the rest of his defenders were, and the rest was then combination play. 20th minute, they'll make it 2-0. So Doué gets the assist to Hakimi. Now he gets his first of the night in the 20th.
And here goes Dembele, and he's got Fabian Ruiz up with him, and Doué arriving. Ousmane Dembele on the ball. Joao Neves has made a run into the box. This is Désiré Doué, and he's deflected in. And Paris Saint-Germain are in dreamland. They're 2-up after 20 minutes.
I mean, the defending from DeMarco on this, it's almost comical. He turns his back. He shies away. He's not brave. And, of course, he's not even looking at it. He doesn't make himself big, and it deflects in off him. That's the first 20 minutes. It's over. Let's go to Doué again. Now, this was the goal of the night for me. This is all orchestrated. The architect is Vitinha. Vitinha's going to pick a ball up about 20 yards outside his 18. He then plays it back to a center back, runs back that way. It, in turn, pulls Inter Milan out a little bit, gets the ball off his center back, and basically is going to play a pass or two and run through the entire Inter Milan team and then lay on the pass that Doué scores to finish it. He starts it at his own 18, produces the final pass at the other end of the field.
Vitinha. Dembele. Oh, absolutely wonderful. Doors have been opened here. Vitinha has found Doué. It is delicious. You will not see a better goal this season. It's a goal that is PSG's 150th of this glorious season. And it has just about won them their first Champions League. What a way to get to the top of the European game.
Now that makes it 3-0 in the second half. By the way, there was a beautiful sort of flick and roll of the ball from the sole of the foot of Dembele on that. But this is modern attacking football. It's not the slow tempo. It's not the inverted wingers. It's flying. Kvaratskhelia will make it 4-0, and this is a finish at the near post. It's kind of a clinical finish here. Sommer can't seal off his near post, and it makes it 4-0.
And here is Dembele, and onto Kvaratskhelia. There's no flag at the moment. It's Kvaratskhelia, it's 4-0. Paris Saint-Germain are winning the Champions League and winning it in style.
They make it 5. Mayalu will come off some combination play and whip in the 5th.
Mayulu, Bakala, Mayulu. Oh! It's 5. It's going to be not only Paris Saint-Germain's first Champions League success, it's going to be a record Champions League success.
Pretty incredible. 5-0 is the final score. Now, you can go back to AC Milan 4-0 over Barcelona in 1993 and 94. By the way, that was Johan Cruyff's Barcelona. Pep Guardiola was on the field that day. That's 93 and 94. Milan had huge injury problems that day and still got a 4-0 victory. Franco Baresi didn't play. Marco van Basten was out. That match took place in Athens. One of the players that started was Roberto Donadoni for Milan that day, who went on to play in Major League Soccer with the Metro Stars, if you remember them. In fact, when the Metro Stars folded, we got a lot of their employees down here to Houston to work with the Dynamo at the time. But that was Fabio Capello's team in the legendary 4-4-2. But they had names like Paolo Maldini, Costa Curta, Desai, Albertini, Savicevic, Boban, Massaro, all were on the field that day. Real Madrid, 2006 and 17, beat Juventus 4-1. Ronaldo had 2. Cristiano Ronaldo had 2 in that game. That was the game that Atletico Madrid led 1-0 with Diego Godin scoring and took it late. And then Sergio Ramos scored in stoppage time. And Gareth Bale got the winner, and then they got 2 more after that. That's one a lot of people won't ever forget. About 2003 and 4, Porto won by 3 over Monaco. That was Jose Mourinho's Porto before he went on to some bigger clubs. So there's a lot of wonderful history, but nobody has ever won a Champions League final / European Cup by 5 goals. Real Madrid 7, Eintracht Frankfurt 1959. The legendary Alfredo Di Stefano had a hat trick. Suffice it to say, I don't think a lot of people, younger people these days, would even know who Alfredo Di Stefano was. And he was one of the all-time greats because most people are picking up modern-day Real Madrid. And that Eintracht Frankfurt team had the Ferenc Puskas, another big, big famous name. All right, so there's a start. So I want to tell a story about yesterday. This is during the day I go into a Home Depot, and Brian, you're going to like this. I go into a Home Depot. I'm looking for, what am I looking for? I'm looking for a leaf blower, and I'm looking for, what was the other thing I went there for? Oh, some termite stuff just to spray around the house. So I'm looking around, and I'm listening, and I hear these two guys talking soccer, and I mean, they're going over Florian Wirtz going to Liverpool. They're talking about the Bundesliga. They're talking about the Champions League. And I'm like, these guys know what they're talking about. And, you know, I kind of listened for a bit because I was really enjoying it. And then I walked to their alleyway and, you know, their aisle, and I looked down. And as I looked down, there's this guy with long blonde hair. He looks like the drummer in the Scorpions, Mickey D. Okay, if anybody knows Mickey D, he looks like Mickey D, looks like a rocker. And then the other guy he's talking to is a younger guy. Their names were Mirsay and Daniel. Mirsay is Hungarian. So I'm standing at the, and it was just kind of, I was just wanted to see who these two guys were, right? Because they really knew what they were talking. And all of a sudden, Mirsay, who looks like Mickey D with the long blonde rock and roll hair, points at me and says, and shouts my name out. He goes, I've been listening to your show since, you know, way back, like 15, 20 years. So I went there, had a real fun conversation with these guys. I need to put the picture up because it's fun. And then I laid a few Dynamo tickets on them, but it was really fun because it really is an example of the knowledge base of international soccer that's in Houston. It really is. There are people from all over the world that every day are talking about the sport in the city. There are kids spilling onto fields everywhere every night. Youth soccer has become big business. There's participation levels that are off the chains. Mircea and Daniel, enjoyed that yesterday. That was fun. And I'm glad you listened to the show, and I appreciate all of that. By the way, here's one more little piece from that I think is a very important piece from Luis Enrique. This is one thing he said to his team. I'm not sure when he said it, but this was said to the team during the season. He said, one of the messages, and he used the word we've been trying to instill, and this is him talking to PSG now. Now, PSG is set for, I think, a dynasty because they're young. If they can maintain their focus, if everybody doesn't want more and more and more for themselves, there's a lot of young guys there. But here's the message that Luis Enrique was talking about. We've been trying to instill, and this is him I quote, is none of you are special. And if someone has made you believe you are, they are misleading you. They are fooling you. Because the moment you retire, you'll stop being special. Truly special people are those who save lives, those who dedicate their entire lives to helping others. That's not us. We're just very fortunate people with a skill set that happens to be paid well. That's Luis Enrique, the head coach of Paris Saint-Germain. He's now a champion who lost his young daughter, very sad, very cute little girl, to illness. So I thought that was pretty captivating. That works for all of us in a lot of ways when you start feeling a little bit too good about yourself. All right, so tonight on the show, we're going to get back to some roundtables. We're going to have Victor Ariza from Deportes Houston in here. We're going to have Federico De Michelis in here, who has been getting some post-match stuff down at the Dynamo, and we're going to play some of that in the next segment. He'll be on the show. And we're going to banter around a lot of topics. We're going to banter around the Galaxy, Cristiano Ronaldo to Major League Soccer. We're going to do some talk Lawrence Anali. We're going to talk about the FIFA Club World Cup, Paris Saint-Germain's Champions League victory, concerns over the 2026 World Cup and heat. That's not going to be a problem in Houston with Energy Stadium. Talk some transfers. A lot of topics on the docket here tonight. And during that roundtable time period, the phone lines are going to be open and you're allowed to call in and participate with us. Be a part of it. That would be fun. This is a little Luke Bryan here, Drunk on You. Just want to remind you right now, LSSE.net. That's where you get your tickets to the Gold Cup. We got the Gold Cup final here July 6th. So right now, half of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment and Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. I got a pair of tickets to the Gold Cup Final July 6th. Caller number 4 at 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
That's called Never in My Life from the group Mountain with Leslie West on guitar. Big shout out to Cactus Music. All your vinyl, all your CD needs down there at Cactus Music. Talk to my good friend Ruben Dominguez, who's also a good friend of Quinn, the owner of Cactus Music. We were bantering around some music last night. We did know that OMD played, for those of you who are 80s synth pop fans. I wanted to go to that, didn't make it. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713, call now. By the way, you got a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you might drive an 18-wheeler, you do construction. Nobody wants to get in accidents, but if in fact you do, you need a personal injury attorney, there's none better. It's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. All right, a little housekeeping here. Next Tuesday, we'll be live at Senate Avenue Brewing. That's 16,000 Dillard and Jersey Village. This will be live show number 4. We're going to be giving away Gold Cup tickets, Dynamo tickets, T-shirts, great small batch beer out there. Andrew Mitchum, the owner, will be there. It's going to be a really, really fun night, as always, at Senate Avenue Brewing. By the way, they've got excellent food there. Award-winning beer. It's all brewed fresh. You're going to want to drink some of that really, really fresh beer. And they got all different types, heavier beers, IPAs. You know, you guys that really know beer better than me. But all I know is it tastes great. So, again, that's next Tuesday. We go live, Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard in Jersey Village. So be there with us. Then the following week, the following Monday, we're going to do Monday Night Football there at Senate Avenue Brewing. This is 6 to 8 Central Time. So we're showing a film. And again, this is to create awareness. My friend Battiri, the artist, and I came up with this. And I'll tell you, he's really done the executing of it. But it's called Viva Brazil. This is about the 1962 World Cup that was held in Chile. If you remember, in 1958, there was a 17-year-old Pelé who stunned the world in Sweden. Well, they won it in 58. This is when Brazil defends it with players on their team like Garrincha, Gide, Mario Zagallo. So we're going to watch this film together. It's going to be a lot of fun. And these have been going on. We do these monthly. Monday Night Football at 7 at Senate Avenue Brewing. Come on out. We'll drink some beer. And we'll watch the film called Viva Brazil. And that would be Brazil defending their 1958 World Cup title with Pelé again. So there you go. Now, tomorrow night, it's Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup. This is the new show I'm hosting right here on ESPN 97.5. Total World Cup show, interviews, history, your favorite moments, my favorite moments, callers' favorite moments, what the World Cup means to you. We will have Marcelo Balboa, the former U.S. men's national team center back, who has been a part of three World Cups, 90, 94, and 98. Chris Canetti, the president of the World Cup committee, will join me live in studio here as well. We'll get everything straight from Chris on how everything is going in preparing for what is the biggest sporting event in the world and a predicted million-plus people coming to Houston. Get ready for this, because we're getting closer and closer to it. So very, very exciting stuff. A little bit more on PSG and Inter Milan. Like I said, Inter Milan was never in it. There was no comeback in this. They looked slow. They looked sluggish. PSG was just explosive from the start. By the way, the average age of PSG, 25 years of age, 96 days. So it's one of the youngest lineup. I think it was the youngest lineup ever fielded, maybe for a Champions League final. Conversely, Inter Milan started with three guys that were 35 and older. Francesco Acerbi, Mkhitaryan, who used to play for Manchester United, and the goalkeeper Jan Sommer. That was a big age gap in those two teams, and it showed. It showed. Performance-wise, this was massive for French League One, because all of us don't watch French League One. Let's face it. We'd rather watch the Premier League. We'd rather watch La Liga, Real Madrid, Barcelona. We'd rather watch the Bundesliga. Not many people watching the French League. There is somebody out there. Call us, 713-780-3776. There are going to be more people watching the French League now. That league needed this title in a big way. You now know who Desiree Douay is, the 19-year-old. So now you're going to start talking about Lamine Yamal, and you're going to talk about Douay as well. He had 2 goals and 1 assist in the final. He set up the first goal to Hakimi. So we learned a lot. That trio in midfield was exceptional. Exceptional for PSG. And they're the future. They're the future. And this could be the beginning of a dynasty. Inter Milan did not have a shot on goal in the first half. First time PSG in history wins it. And Inter Milan has lost 4 of their last 5 Champions League finals. So the treble for PSG, it's big. All right, let's talk a little Dynamo. And you know what, Brian? Let's, if we can we start off with Federico De Michelis is going to join me here in studio shortly. Let's start off. This was the Dynamo Sporting Kansas City. So the Dynamo would lose this 3-1. I'll tell you what, we'll start with this. The Dynamo come out flying in this one, absolutely flying. 13th minute in this game, the Dynamo will get the opening goal. Andre Linger goes into the corner, digs it out, comes out of there, finds Kowalczyk. Before Kowalczyk receives a pass, it's a thing of beauty for youth players. He takes a look behind him, he realizes nobody's there. So that when he receives the ball, he's got time to turn. Here's what it sounded like on my Apple call for the local call.
Linger in the corner. He's come out of there beautifully. He's found Kowalczyk! Oh, what a goal! It's a first for the year for Polish power.
The Dynamo would keep the pressure up. And by the way, let's go back to these two saves that happened very early here. And I think we have that audio, Brian, the doubles, the two saves here. And this is a big night for John Polskamp. But I will say these two headers are hit right at him. So here's this is just an example of how fast and how aggressive and how goal hungry the Dynamo came out in this.
Ortiz with a long ball over the top. You're seeing a little bit more direct play these days from the Houston Dynamo. They are on the ascent. Dorsey, Reigns, top of the box. McGlynn, Dorsey. Lots of time to get the cross and shove to save Polskamp. Header was put right at him. Back in the box it comes again. But it should be 1-0 here. You're not going to get a clearer header than that. Kowalczyk now. Reigns. Awadesu. Dorsey again getting tons of the ball here early. Again gets across and save again, Polskamp. He's a one-man wrecking crew in goal right now here. The ball must look like a beach ball. It's 2 spectacular saves. He denies Polskamp. But what a start from the Houston Dynamo.
So it was Ponce and Kowalczyk who had headers denied. They were hit right at Polskamp, but Polskamp comes up with 8 or 9 saves on this night. Dynamo start like a locomotive in this game. Big aggression. They win all the data categories, 54% possession, 22-12 in shots, 9 on goal to 6. 9 on goal, I think, is tops they've had all year long. They had 100 more passes than Sporting Kansas City, 10 crosses, 6 corners. Doesn't quantify things because it comes down to finishing. Remember who's the striker for Sporting Kansas City? Well, let me remind you right now. We'll play one of their goals right now. Dejan Jovalic, who they paid about $5 million to get from the LA Galaxy.
Sporting off the corner here. The header off the crossbar. And the volley goes in. It's stabbed home. He is a finisher. Dejan Jovalic has just scored again, got prone a side volley, and the contact is ridiculously sweet, and it is 2-1 Sporting Kansas City.
So he had scored in stoppage time of the first half. The Dynamo kind of ran out of steam. I don't know if that's more about fatigue. I think Ben Olsen did say he felt his team was fatigued. But they ran out of steam in the first half. I don't know if they took the pedal off. They do sometimes take the pedal off. They needed a second goal in the first half. Well, let's face it. I mean, if we want to be critical and talk, they get the second goal and get on their way to taking the 3 points at home. So Jovalich now has it tied up in the 52nd minute after that goal, and then Munoz would get one in the 88th and make it 3-1. Good news for the Dynamo. Lawrence Sonnally came back. Now, this is a young player that last year for the Dynamo, I mean, these were his first minutes. I think he played 9 minutes. These were his first minutes since his injury against LAFC last August 31st. There is something electric about this young German kid that Dynamo fans like. And you got a very small sample size of Sonnally last year. He's quick. He's electric. He turns people. He wants to beat people. And he's somebody you're drawn to. The Dynamo need a dribbler. They need a breakdown player like him who can capably just break people down off the dribble. Looks like he's come back from his injury quite well. He had an ACL. Sometimes you see a guy might lose a bit of explosiveness. He did not lose. It doesn't look like he's lost any. He's exciting. He could be a star in Houston, Lawrence Sonnally. He's young. He's fun. He's electric. He's great off the dribble. He could be a star in Houston. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Ben Olsen, his staff, the Dynamo bring him back. But that was a real positive sign there. And then, of course, Dwayne Holmes is getting healthy. So there you go. So the Dynamo right now are ninth in the West. They're in that last playoff spot. 5 wins, 7 losses, 5 draws, 22 goals for, 25 against. I'm just trying to show you how smart I am by throwing you all this data. The 25 goals against, part of that to me is because of the fact that the Dynamo have less control of matches now. They're not as good a possession team as they once were with, obviously, Hector Herrera and Coco Carrasquilla. I think it's a notch down. They're 3-5-1 at home. That's not good. 16 points left on the table at home at the halfway point of the season. Yet, you will say this is a decent month of May. They got 4 wins. They lost 4 matches. They tied 1. 2 of those were Open Cup. They went 1-1 at home. So they're, you know, by MLS standards, you know, you can be very positive here and say they're positioned well. They're in ninth place. They're getting people back. They're getting people healthy. And we'll see how it goes forward in the future. If Linger's going to play behind Ponce, that's going to be interesting because likely Amin Bassi, like in this game against Sporting, is going to probably lose some playing time. Now, Jack McGlynn's off with the national team for the Gold Cup. Well, guess what? That means Amin Bassi's probably going to come back into the team as the playmaker. So a lot going on here. This is Alpine Stars, a band from Manchester, England. A lot of good bands out of Manchester. A lot of good bands. Remember when I discovered this, I didn't know many people who knew about this band, Alpine Stars. And I always wondered if they named it after the motorcycle brand. Don't know. I don't think that's really important anyway. All right, so we're going to do, coming back, we're going to start digging into some of the topics like Cristiano Ronaldo, possibly to Major League Soccer. We're going to talk about the FIFA Club World Cup, this billion-dollar extravaganza. You put the bait out there, everybody's going to be a part of it. When you put $1 billion worth of prize money out, guess what? Everybody wants in. And now you got teams like Real Madrid trying to get guys on deals quick as possible to try and help them win the tournament, like Trent Alexander-Arnold of Liverpool. All right, we'll talk with Victor Ariza and Federico De Michelis after this. And then when we come back, we're going to play a little right at the top of the segment, some fan reaction from the Houston Dynamo match as well. All right, LamontBrands.com, they got you covered. Embroidery, screen printing, laser engraving. It's all done in-house with Jerry and Mel Lamont. Amazing service down there. If you need printing needs, LamontBrands.com. Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats are there. Really appreciate Jerry and Mel Lamont and Lamont Brands. Also, again, a reminder, Gold Cup tickets, they're out there now. You can get them, lsse.net for Gold Cup tickets. You can also go there and get suites and the preferred parking if you want to go big, big, big time. And if you are a Mexican fan, I think there's a pretty good bet the Mexican national team is going to be in that final. I'm not as confident with the U.S., but I'm thinking Mexico is going to be playing in that final July 6th. You can get that suite if you want to get it. That wouldn't be bad. But the 16 teams are going to battle out in the Gold Cup. 16 teams, four groups of four. Don't wait. You'll get your tickets, and you'll get to a historic Gold Cup final. LSSE.net. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that's if you like rap. They like rap down at Cactus Music. You know rap, Brian? We've talked about this before, right?
I've seen them in concert.
That's right, you told me.
Them and Quiet Riot together.
Yeah, now I think there was something with the drummer.
The band I saw was only the original lead singer, and then the rest of the band was new guys.
The guitar player?
No, like the only original member of Rat that night was the singer.
Okay.
Apparently there's two different Rats that toured, the band and the lead singer.
Yeah, but you got to have Stephen Pearcy. Now, you can replace drummers and bass guys, but
as a former
lead singers
drummer,
and lead guitar.
But I also get it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I shouldn't say that. And by the way, yesterday was the birthday of Charlie Watts. All right, this is all Cactus Music talk right now. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, so we're renewing the roundtables of the old days. So we're going to be doing a lot more of this on Tuesdays, and we're going to be bringing in different people from the community, including the guys that are in here tonight. So first of all, we start with Victor Ariza from Deportes Houston. He's in here tonight. So, Victor, thank you for coming in. Longtime friend, has actually been a big part of the show in past years. Now, Victor at the moment now is working with Deportes Houston and also doing a lot with CONCACAF. So you'll be very busy during the Gold Cup.
Appreciate the invite. Always glad to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate you being here. And Federico Di Michelis might have one of the most flowing names in the history of Argentina. Federico, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn, for the invitation. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and Federico, by the way, is a professional opera singer. He goes around the world, around the country. It's pretty impressive. We won't ask him to sing tonight, so don't worry. But I do want to play something. Federico's been working with the show. And after the Dynamo 3-1 loss to Sporting Kansas City, here's Federico catching up with some of the fans and getting some opinion.
Are you happy with the team's performance tonight?
It's a 3-1 score, so there's things in the defense I think they need to improve on overall.
If I told you 50 minutes in that this is how it was going to end, would you believe me?
I wouldn't believe it at the beginning because I think we're completely controlling the game.
There's a lack of creativity in the final third, and I think Inali brought a little bit of creativity, but I think we need to see more of like the fast wingers and like a little bit more dynamic play in the final third.
Are you hopeful for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think about the game tonight?
No, it was a tough game. We expected something better today. Yeah, we have a lot of opportunities, but we were not able to make it.
It was a great fun atmosphere. A little disappointed that we lost.
Compared to the start of the season, I still think that they're improved a lot. They're working together a little bit better.
It was a heartbreaker. You know, they play well, but the other team played even better.
I think we deserve to win. You know, the first opportunity is the two headshots, and then it comes to Baiju in, you know.
Are you hopeful for the rest of the season?
I don't know. I'm a fan. I got to be hopeful.
Define this game tonight in one word. What would you say?
Work. They need to work more.
If you had to define this game in one word, what would you say?
Hot on the start, slow on the finish.
Are you a a super fan? Do you always come here?
Yeah.
Do you love it?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player?
Inali. Inali.
I like that cute girl at the end. That was my favorite. I like Inali. And we'll talk about Inali a little bit. That was great stuff, Federico. There was a really nice cross-section of things from Dynamo fans. Some people content, other people, you know, drilling down a little bit more on tactics, and like the one gentleman who said, I want something in the final third.
You know, heartbreak. That's what I felt the most. Yet hopeful. You know, I think people were hopeful. People were upset. They were disappointed. But they were hopeful. I think there's still hope in the fan base for this Dynamo team, at least for now.
Well, that's the way MLS sets it up. 18 teams make the playoffs, mm-hmm. so you always got hope. You know, listen, you're going to be in August, and unless you're maybe the LA Galaxy and one or two other teams, you will be in a position, point-wise, if you win three or four games, Victor, automatically you'll be right back in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, you look at the Galaxy. I think, you know, people are making it seem like they got to go on this historic run. But what are they, 13 points out with half the league to go? I think they certainly have a shot to get back in it.
They got to win a lot of games, though. We're at the halfway point. 17 games have been played. What do you think about the rumor, Victor, Cristiano Ronaldo to Major League Soccer, and some thoughts on that?
I think it would be a good impulse for the league. You know, it's been all messy. It would bring back that – maybe it will bring that back, that rivalry, because I think other people have also, you know, maybe pointed to Miami with the Club World Cup coming up. That could be a possibility. But I think having him in the league would certainly draw more interest in a period right now where I think we are hitting a low, and it could use more interest.
Federico, what do you think about CR7? By the way, R9 is my guy. Ronaldo.
Talk
nine.
About
but,
that.
CR7.
There's only one Ronaldo in my books.
R9. R9. We got to start dropping R9 more. I'm going to get a dog and name it R9.
I don't know. You know, I think it would be great to have that rivalry in the MLS. But I also think it would maybe play to those that talk about the MLS being the retirement league and blah, blah, blah that we've heard for so long. We're trying to push away from that, I believe. So to have him here would be amazing, to see him every weekend. But I don't know if it's a good move for the MLS. I really don't know.
So here's my take. I hope he doesn't come to Major League Soccer personally. I really don't. First of all, Messi's already dominated and won America. He's won the turf. It's over. Mm-hmm. Ronaldo's not going to come here and do anything more than Messi has. No chance. He's not at the same level playing-wise, in my opinion. I've watched him in Saudi Arabia or where – I don't even know the name of his team. What's his team's name?
Al-Nassr, I believe.
Okay. They didn't win a trophy. That's why they brought him there. He wants to get the 1,000 goals. I don't think he's going to be any good for Major League Soccer, in my opinion. Now, if you look at it from the celebrity and the following that this man has – I think he has more followers than anybody in the world. That's a whole nother thing. But remember, too, I think what people are forgetting, this has to be a total buy-in from all the owners, much like Messi, right? So, you know, I'm hearing stuff like, oh, he might go to Miami with Messi. Kevin Baxter's refuted that he's going to go to the LA Galaxy. Yeah. So that's how I see it.
You know, the question is, what are we aiming at here? Is it a marketing move? Or are we trying the MLS to have the best football possible? Do we even care about having good football in the MLS? It's a question to have. I think it's something that we talk about every single week.
I think people care. I think these coaches, players, and coaching staffs absolutely care. But I think the big picture of the league, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if we want – there's things we could do to increase the competition if we really wanted to improve the product. Yeah. I think, and I'm talking about mechanisms, and we can get into that in a minute, but I do think all the players, the coaches, all of them care, but they're also subscribing to the rules of the league, and the rules of the league can lead to apathy and can lead to taking your time, putting it together. Now, if Ben Olsen and Pat Onstad, Victor, and there was only seven playoff spots in each division or six, guess what? They might have to pull the trigger on signings quicker. They're going to have to do a lot of things quicker because urgency and consequence becomes a part of it. And then what also is the byproduct of that is better games.
Absolutely. I think the best example I can give you, look at LAFC. when they needed to show up to the moment this last weekend, they did because they had to because the necessity was there.
Great example.
Meanwhile, in the league, look what they are doing. Are they getting to the playoffs? Are they? No, they're taking it easy. They're gonna. And granted, they got several competitions, but they're waiting to pick their spot to win to get into the or fire up the playoff race. Right. That's what I think there's too much of in MLS. That's why I like the Leagues Cup. I like some of these other competitions because it forces teams to go out of their comfort zone and, see a different style of team.
Victor Ariza, Deportes Houston, also works with CONCACAF. Federico DeMichelis, working here now with Soccer Matters, helping me out, doing a great job. I think that's a really good example you bring up. And by the way, it's all of us that's rooting for LAFC. We want our league to do well. We want to see LAFC beat Club America. It's nice to see Club America get beat down a few times.
I don't know if Galaxy fans were on board.
Yeah, but they probably weren't. But I'm just saying overall for the league, this is a big moment for LAFC to beat Club America, Federico.
Absolutely. It's huge. And the rivalry between, MLS and Liga MX, it's there. We all know it's there. We like it. I think it's a very healthy rivalry, and there should be more of it, I believe. It helps the MLS grow, and it helps also Liga MX do better. And I think Liga MX is at a moment where they have to do better.
By the way, LAFC takes home almost a cool $10 million for winning that game.
Unbelievable.
Wonder why people are playing hard.
Yeah, well,
there's a few bonuses there. That's bonuses make the world go round. And that's why we have the FIFA Club World Cup, because there's $1 billion in prize money.
Billion.
And everybody wants to play. And as I said in commercial break, guess what? Real Madrid's wants to pay $8 or $9 million, I think, to get Trent Alexander-Arnold into the fold so he can play in this tournament. FIFA Club World Cup. How do you feel about this tournament, Victor?
I like it. I know it's very commercial, but I think this would be sort of what the FIFA World Cup is nation for nations at the club level. I think it's a long time coming. There has to be a lot of money attached to this, but I'm curious to see how some of these games will end up.
How about you, Federico?
Well, there has to be a lot of money. There has to be a lot of money because it's in the middle of other important competitions. Libertadores is happening. Argentina League just finished. Brazil is always busy constantly. They have a terrible schedule. And then in Europe, they have to get their teams ready. That's why they're making the moves now. They're keeping the market open. I was looking at the numbers here. It's crazy. $2 million for a win in the group stage. Only there. $475 million for the winner. Yeah. It's outrageous.
It is a little bit hypocritical because on one hand you hear FIFA and everybody discussing workload, too many games, and there's only one way to pull players off of workload in clubs and upper management, and that is money.
Money.
And I don't know. The launch of it a year out from the World Cup, I'm mixed on that because some of these guys are going to have incredibly full years with lots of games. And you're going to see at that World Cup now with 48 teams, you're going to see players that are, in a lot of ways, aren't going to live up to it. And there are going to be some big names who don't live up to it. They're going to be fatigued. They're going to be burnt out. Some of them. And I think this is just reality. I mean, I could sit here and it's going to be an exciting World Cup. But there are going to be some, I think, real surprises. All right, so we got Victor Ariza in the studio from Deportes Houston and also CONCACAF and Federico DeMichelis. And we're going to come back. We're going to keep talking. Some concerns about the heat during this World Cup next summer coming up. Not here in Houston. We got Energy Stadium. And we got some other things to get into, but we're going to talk a little bit of the Ballon d'Or. We'll talk about what's happened with Vicente Sanchez of Cruz Azul. We'll get into Dynamo tonight, so we got a lot of good topics. And Victor and Federico are going to be here for the next two segments as well. We're going to take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, best in Greek food. It's Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, three locations in Houston. You can go to the new location up near the Woodlands. You got Beltway 8 and I-10. I mean, massive bakeries in these places. I mean, these are exceptional what Dimitri and his family have done when it comes to Greek food. And then the original on Montrose. souvlaki's, gyros, lamb shanks. I mean, if you love lamb, I love lamb. I love lamb. All kinds of great salads, soups, pastries. It is Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. And we'll take a quick break here. We're coming back with more. This is the Rolling Stones.
It's time to harden my shell.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.